This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
If you go to our mortgage team's website, you'll find hundreds of testimonials of real Christian radio listeners we've helped. Laura here is a recent friend who is kind enough to share a few words with her local station.
I was actually referred to United Faith Mortgage through my mother-in-law. We decided it was time for us to start looking for a house, and I reached out to Kelly, and we found several houses we liked, but, you know, with the seller's market, things kept falling through. But anytime we needed her, she was there for us. She got everything we needed as soon as we asked for it, and she made it work. She made sure that if that was the house that our family wanted, we were going to get that house. They're a wonderful company, and we're just really blessed that we found them in the process, that they helped us get through it, and we are in the home of our dreams, and our family is so happy.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
That's how they do it. They understand that they want to put something in your mind, and they want to make you think that you thought of what you're thinking when they were the ones who were thinking what you thought.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today as we continue a message, understanding when there's misunderstanding. And I have to admit, based on what we just heard, I'm not sure I'm understanding exactly what is going on here.
You're misunderstanding.
I'm potentially misunderstanding. I think we're talking about manipulation in some way here.
Yeah, so you want to understand what you're misunderstanding?
Help me unpack this here, Pastor.
We generally attribute motive to individuals that are our motives. So you have somebody who says, hey, you better watch out for brother or sister so-and-so. I think they're attracted to your spouse. Generally, my thought is this person must be attracted to my spouse.
Yeah.
Because they've attributed that motive to someone else. It was very humorous to me. A sister shared it with me. She said, you know, Pastor, it's really amazing. I said, well, what's amazing in response to this message?
Yeah.
She said, well, I had on a multicolored dress. And one of the sisters said, all the colors of the rainbow. And I said, so what are you trying to say? I have too many colors in my dress. And the sister said, no, I was thinking all the colors of the rainbow, the promise of God and the covenant. So the half rainbow, the covenant never to destroy the earth with water, and the full rainbow around the throne, the eternal covenant that God has with you and I. And she said, I felt so bad that I had to apologize to the sister. And she said, I said to her, you know what? When I put the dress on this morning, I was questioning whether I had on too many colors. And when you said all the colors of the rainbow, I immediately thought of what I thought of my dress and attribute that to you. And you just taught me a powerful lesson.
Yeah.
She said, well, that's what I was thinking because I love rainbow and I love multicolors. And I looked at your dress and I said, wow, that's a gorgeous dress. You see? And so that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That sometimes we attribute motive to people that are our motives. Think about with your children. What is it? Well, I'll speak for myself. What was it that I would caution my children about more than anything else? The things I saw in them that I used to be and do when I was their age.
Absolutely. Like every parent can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, today we're going to be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 10. So grab a Bible and join us there if you can as we continue this message, Understanding When There's Misunderstanding. Here is Pastor Ford.
And so notice what he does. Hath God said. He didn't come out and say, he puts a question in her mind and made her focus on all the things that God told her she could have. No, on the one thing that God said, don't do. A question got her thinking. Now I got to ask myself the question because I always ask it. Why ask the question instead of making the statement? Look, because I hear it all the time. But yeah, that's how they do it. It's like they understand that they want to put something in your mind and they want to make you think that you thought of what you're thinking when they were the ones who were thinking what you thought. Don't ask me to repeat that. You know what I'm talking about. Bro, have you heard? Well, heard what? What's going on? What's going on? Well, what I heard is this. What you think about that? Come up to leaders. Hey, what's this about such and such I hear? I don't know. You mean you an elder? You a deacon? You a leader? And you don't know? Okay, I'm just saying. They come up and they query you. See, here's what we need to understand. What is it? Do you really think that that's the real reason why they're doing that? And then you begin to think, maybe it isn't. And they put that thought in your mind. Let me just say this. I just got to say it. Because a lot of times they'll ask questions so they can let you ride in on their motive. And it's like easing into a tub of hot water. They ease you into it. Let me just tell you something. Somebody keep pointing something out to you, keep telling you the same thing. You better be careful of those individuals. They're always pointing this out. Look at this, look at that, look at this, look at that. They're always pointing it out. Here's what I found out. Here's what I believe is true. You ain't going to convince me. I don't care what you say. Somebody always harping on something. Usually, it's an issue that they have. Not one that you have. So it's like somebody come up to you, sis, and say, you know, you better watch. Oh, girl, she wants your husband. That's the one you better watch. That's the one you better watch. Yeah, that's the one. When the brother say to me, hey, there's another brother that's interested in Sister Ford, that's the joker I watch. And during fellowship time, don't be hugging my wife. No, don't be hugging my wife, man. No. What's wrong, man? You know, don't be hugging my wife, man. I don't want you hugging my wife. Amen. Because you notice what I don't notice, and it's my wife. You notice that other men are looking at her, and I don't even notice other men are looking at her. And so what you doing looking at her so much that you know another man is looking at my wife? You don't be hugging my wife. Yeah. That's it. Because you and I have to admit, the thing that I don't like the most about my kids is the things that I didn't like in myself. That's it. And somebody always run up to you talking about, you better watch this, you better watch. That's who you better watch. So what does he do? He puts doubt in the mind. No, second thing he does. He puts details in the message. So David, look at David's message. You show kindness and comfort. Kindness and comfort. And then what do they say? No, he doesn't want to honor your father. He hasn't sent these comforters for you. Rather, now he's adding to it. He sent his servants under thee, search the city, spy it out, overthrow it. Notice how something positive has been turned into something negative. Man, I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that. People are trying to do some good things, and people take it the wrong way. Now, notice something. Because where'd they get this from? I'll tell you where they got it from. Half of it is speculation, and the other half is imagination. Five questions. We talked about that, but get this. You know this well. There are three times that we have the devil recorded as speaking in the Bible. We just looked at the first one when in Genesis 3:1, he's speaking to man about God. Then in Job 1 and Job 2, he's speaking to God about man. Then in Matthew 4:1, he's speaking to the God man. And so in Matthew 4:6, he says to Jesus, he says, quotes Psalm 91:1-2. And then he does four things to it. And he does the same thing that the princes of Anan have done to David's message, that's what the devil does to God's message. He adds to God's message. So what did he do? If you compare Psalm 91, 11, and 12 with Matthew 4, 6, four things. He added words. He omitted words. He changed words. And he took it out of context. He said, ain't you read in the Bible, Jesus? And Jesus said, I wrote it. Of course, I'm the living word. Yeah, I know the written word. And you're using it out of context. That's not how you're supposed to use my word. Here's the context of what you're trying to get me to do. The devil said, throw yourself down, and he will give his angels charge concerning thee. And Jesus said, that's the wrong scripture. You're reading the Bible upside down. Here's the scripture that applies to this particular context. And we better learn that. We better learn that well. You know, I talk to a lot of Hebrew Israelites because I go to a place to get live food all the time. And so they got the best diets. I don't care what anybody say. And they cook some good meatless food, you know. And all the time, you know, getting into these conversations with these guys, and they'll say, you're supposed to be under the law. And I say, no, law don't work for me, you know, and the law is not made for anybody. As I remember, I was up Moody, and we had lunch, and I went over to the park, and it said, wet paint, do not touch. And I just had to see, was it really wet? You know, and so I saw that it was wet. But the law instigates, you know. It doesn't embrace us. It instigates us. And so I said, but you ought to read what Paul said about the law in Galatians. They told me, oh, no, Galatians, that's not part of the biblical canon. It's in the Bible, but Paul's writings are not scripture. I said, well, then you're calling Peter a liar. Because in his epistle, he said, the writings of Paul, the scriptures, are hard to understand. Amen. What's my point? My point is that we have to be careful about the message that we've been given. And so here they are now. They take from the message. And notice what they do. They put more emphasis on their speculation and imagination than the original message itself. So that what they're focusing in on, we call that the straw man. You build the case, and then, you know, Miriam did it. Anybody remember Exodus chapter 12? She did it. In Exodus chapter 12, what Miriam did was came against Moses because he married a black woman. You read it. It's there. We studied it before. And then it says, and Moses, who died and made you boss? See, she could get at Moses married a black woman. But her real issue was Moses had the power. And the way to get the power was to pull down Moses. And that's exactly what she did. And people were doing it, maybe not at Christ Bible Church, but all these other churches. Mm-hmm.
We're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. And by the way, if you ever want to go to Christ Bible Church, we just heard Pastor Ford talk about that, you can always come and hear Pastor Ford preach live, get all the information by coming to our website and click on About. There's also a link to the church's website on the Stay Connected bar. So two great ways to find out more about Christ Bible Church, where Pastor Ford serves as senior pastor. And if you ever want to find out what he's passionate about, well, you can always come to the website and click on the Books by Pastor Ford link. I got to tell you, a number of those books are about marriage and relationship, and certainly passionate about that. But you can check out those books by coming to treasuretruthradio.org. Click on the links, Books by Pastor Ford. It's on the left side of the homepage. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
So notice what else he did. Last one. He put deceit in the motivation. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we at first try to deceive. Now, why do people do this? Why does it happen? Number one, they don't like you. And I don't know, man, I don't know when, but I thank God I learned this. Here's what I learned. When people don't like you, it's because, it's deep, y'all, they don't like you. And guess what? There's nothing you could do to make them like you. So here's what I want to tell all you people that just got to be liked. Quit trying to be liked by people who don't like you. Because they don't like you, because they don't like you. And there's nothing you can do to get them to like you. I mean, you know, they say things like, well, why don't you like them? Because, you know, their smile, it goes up and down at the same time. And mama told me, when you see somebody with a crooked smile, you know, you can't trust that person. You know, when people come to me about another person, here's what I say every time. Well, you know what? I don't know them. So why don't you let me have the opportunity to make my own decision by getting to know them myself? After all, you two may not get along because they just might not like you. Number two, they don't like or agree with your direction, your goals, your issues, your ideas, your focus, your vision, or 100 other things. Number three, most of the time there are people who think only their viewpoint is right. You ever been with somebody, they might as well tell you, when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. And number four, they have a different allegiance. You look in this text, I mean, they have a different allegiance. And so they fellowship with folk that are against you. Number five, come up, let me whisper this. Some folk in the church just like to keep up mess. They just like to keep up mess. They like to keep stuff stirred up. They can't function unless there's chaos. I mean, you put out a fire, they go relight the fire. You think, oh man, everything is taken care of, and you look back, it's a conflagration. Number six, some people just have to have the limelight. These men did this because they have an ear with the king and they can influence. Who's the first person you go to? Let me tell you this. I know y'all ain't liking this message today because it's quiet. I'm putting the oil to the squeak. That's why God had me change my message. Let me tell you something. There are some people, they always have to have the limelight. They got to be seen and they got to be heard. And I don't have to expose anybody because names and faces are coming to your mind. It's like, yeah, always, yeah. Always. And if I'm in charge, then you can't have an opinion. If I'm in charge, then you can't have an idea. You know, you better be glad your pastor ain't like that. I was telling Pastor Lyles this morning, if I was like that at the homegoing service yesterday, then I would have said, oh, okay, you made executive decision, but since you didn't pass it by me, ain't nothing happening because you ain't pass it by me. I'm the pastor up in here. I make the decisions up in here. Yeah. No. But I don't roll that way. And I don't care who thinks I do. I don't roll that way. Go that way. Couple reasons. Number one, I'm the groomsman, the best man. Jesus is the bridegroom. You married to him, you ain't married to me. Second reason, he already died for you. I ain't going to. Amen. You ain't killing me. Amen. Because all you'll do is put out the purple and black for a couple weeks and then find you a young, healthy, vibrant hunk of chocolate chip like I was when I first came here. And then kill him. No, but I'm serious. It's like, come on now. What's going on with these guys? And the best we can deduce, I mean, you read it for yourself. The deduction I made, Pastor Ray, was these guys had some guys in Syria and the other nation they wanted to hook up with. And they say, Israel is a threat to that union. Hey, we got his ear. We're princes. We got his ear. And let me tell you something. Here's what I wasn't going to say, but I'm going to say it now. Who you go to first always determines what your real motive is. Amen. If there's an issue and you don't immediately go to God, whoever you go to is the person that you think will agree with you and you can influence to believe what you believe about the situation. That's it. Hey, bro, look, man, I just need a sounding board. Okay, and so, you know, I mean, I ain't talking about nobody or nothing, but it, I mean, everybody in the church, everybody talking about it in the church. So you and I could talk about it, you know, and here's what's going down, man. You know, now tell me what you think about that, you know. And see, when people say, Pastor Ford, so-and-so was talking about you, here's what I ask them. You should see their face, man. They could be as dark as you and I and turn red. I say, okay, that's what they said about me. Can I ask you a question? What's that? Why did they feel comfortable coming to you talking about me?
All right.
Yeah, why did they feel comfortable coming to you talking about me? Yeah, I got very few people that I talk to about stuff. There's one of them right there. And I talk to him because I know we both love Jesus. We love know the Bible, so I know most of the time he's going to agree with me. Yeah, number seven, territorial. Well, I already commented on that. What do you mean territorial? I don't care what it is. If it becomes any kind of threat to their authority, they think, they're going to come against that thing. I don't care what it is. You remember what I told you and keep telling you? What are new people? New people, when they come in, they are in infusion, not in intrusion. And we need to quit treating them like they're in intrusion and not an infusion. And so I had people who are new to the church, and I had people who ain't used to the protocol, like some of y'all don't say nothing about it. You know, and a person came to me and said, I volunteer. You always talking about volunteer. I volunteer. And they said, they don't need me. I said, who said that? And they told me who said it. I took them to the person. I said, you tell that person we don't need them. Well, we got everybody. We know we don't. And I said, go on in that kitchen. I pulled the person to the side and I said, listen, have her do something. I don't care what it is. If you got to break something to have her clean it up, just don't let her hear it. If you got to throw something down, if you got to, you got to send her to the store. Man, as much as we need folks to work around here, you sending somebody away. Mm-mm. And so, you know, I'm thinking about it. That's what happens. Now notice, thirdly with me, the misfortune of misunderstanding. That's verse 4. When Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Wow. These men are humiliated. Now, you know, it's cultural background. Shave their beard half off. That was something that you did to just honor people. And then they cut off their garments in the middle and sent them back. Wow. Now get this. Here's my point. It starts with wherefore. Well, why does it start with wherefore? Because of verse 3. So verse 4 is there because of verse 3. No verse 3, no verse 4. Here's the point I want to make, and I'm going to make it fast. Hanan does something that dishonors David's men when David was trying to do something that was going to be helpful.
All right, so you made the point fast, but we're going to break that down more next time on the program so you can understand, well, basically, how you handle a misunderstanding. That's what this message is called, Understanding When There's Misunderstanding. And we're taking a look at 2 Samuel chapter 10 as we do that. If you want to make sure that you don't miss the next program, you can come to the website right now and sign up to begin podcasting the program. You can also listen on the go, not just through podcasting Treasure Truth, but if you have the Moody Radio app. It's free, and we'll link you to it when you come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. Or you can simply go to your favorite app store, like the iOS App Store, Google Play, and search for Moody Radio. It's a great way to listen whenever it fits your schedule. You can also listen on demand if you come to the website, where you can stream a program or download the MP3 for free. Again, all those links and a lot more at treasuretruthradio.org. You know, we're able to bring you Pastor Ford's teaching, whether it's through the radio, through the website, through the app, podcasting the program, all these ways, because of your generosity. So for those of you who are giving to Treasure Truth, thank you for doing that. You're helping us continue to bring you Pastor Ford's teaching each day. For those who have never given a gift before, would you consider doing so today? Just come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org, click on the link that says Make a Donation. It's on the left side of the homepage. And there you can give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift. Both are needed. come to treasuretruthradio.org and click on the link that says Make a Donation. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.